So how's your ankle been doing?
Moving slower than I hoped, but it's, you know, definitely making progress. I think it's kind of the combination of making sure my stress fracture is going away along with, you know, allowing my ankle to heal. So it's going a little bit slower, but I think that by the time it is ready to go, it'll be 100% and I won't have to worry about it anymore, which will be nice.
Do you have a timeline for when you think it's going to be ready?
My original goal was my birthday, so which is on Friday, but I don't know if that's gonna happen. So I'm getting an MRI coming up in a couple of days, and then I think from there it'll kind of, depending on how that MRI looks.
Okay, so it's your birthday on Friday, and then you've got your season opener on Saturday. You've got an exciting weekend.
Very exciting.
What are you most looking forward to about starting the season this weekend?
I think just kind of starting to get into full swing of things and having a full set team and, you know, in that sense and kind of knowing who you're going to be playing with the next season, I think that would be kind of nice. And, you know, starting to build that team chemistry, I think, will be fun.
How has the team chemistry been going so far? Like, you've got a few new girls, obviously.
It's been good, actually, you know. The veterans have all been awesome to all the newcomers, and there's a lot of us. There are only 5 players returning from last year's team. So that's been really good that they've, you know, been so willing and able to, you know, kind of help us out around San Antonio. And also just, you know, what we know about the system and OLAF and all them. So it's a very, very positive experience.
And so what's your life and your schedule been like since the draft, since everything's crazy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole like 2-week span of the Final Four to the draft to USA Basketball with orientation between there was it was all whirlwind. And I think I finally kind of became a real person this past week and not living out of a suitcase or a hotel room. So it's definitely been a very positive experience, but it was also very hectic.
So you were playing in the Final Four, obviously, in San Antonio, and then a few days later you found out you'd be going back there. Did that make you more excited about it, having been there already?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to see that much of it when I was down here for the Final Four, but it was kind of nice knowing that I'd already at least seen the city. So I went into the draft with a very open mindset and was just going to be excited wherever I went. I'm definitely, you know, still liking it down here, so.
Have you gotten to see the city a little bit more now then?
A little bit. I'm still, you know, trying to find my way around town, so it's been a slow process, but I'm sure it'll pick up.
And has it been, I mean, obviously you've been on the sidelines during this beginning of practice and everything. Has that been a little frustrating for you to have to start with a new team you aren't getting on the court?
Very frustrating. There's nothing more that I would like than to try and be on the court and be participating. I feel like it's always kind of hard for a rookie to walk into a situation and say, okay, I can't give you anything right now, but I'm going to take as much as I can from you guys, you know, learning-wise. So it's definitely been hard, but I think right now it's the right thing to do and everyone is aware of that. So
to prepare then, have you been, like, trying to prepare mentally? What have you been doing to get yourself ready since you can't actually be on the court?
Just, you know, trying to stay in shape cardio-wise, a lot of lifting, and I actually started boxing, which has been kind of interesting to do, and swimming a lot. So, you know, in terms of basketball-wise, that's what I've been doing. And then mentally just really focusing during practices and trying to really learn the system, learn the offense, figure out defensive schemes that they're going to be putting into play against other teams, and that kind of stuff. So just really kind of being there in practice instead of just kind of sitting on the sidelines.
So let's talk a little bit about the end of your senior season then. I think that it really said a lot about you and, like, spirit and strength that you have. You've had to go through a shoulder surgery, some knee injuries, and now a fractured ankle, foot. Where do you get the strength to push through all that?
I think I've seen, you know, people in worse situations than me. You know, for me, it wasn't really an option. I had invested so much in my teammates that I was going to play through that pain. You know, looking back on it now, it seems a little crazy to think, well, I played on an ankle that was maybe 65% and a broken foot at the same time. But the amount that my teammates had invested in me and the amount that my coaches had invested in me, it only seemed fair to return that energy and that effort towards them. And to be honest, after having my shoulder surgery, no pain has ever been worse than that. Yeah. So, you know, fighting through my ankle and my foot and my knee surgeries were, they weren't that difficult to do compared to my shoulder.
Was there any person specifically that maybe like helped you with that or?
I would definitely say my parents and my coaches. I mean, kind of a combination of them and obviously the doctors and the trainers at Stanford. It's more of a mental battle of trying to stay patient and not get frustrated. And, you know, I think whenever I would have bad days, I'd be able to talk to one of them and kind of be like, oh, it's just so frustrating to be on the sidelines and not be able to play. But they would kind of let me know that I was doing the right thing and, you know, essentially saving myself for the game. So that helped to kind of have that mental support there.
So then you're pushing through all that, and then you guys lost to UConn in the finals.
Right.
And then you went and were part of the USA team that Coach Ariyama was coaching. What was it like to go be on a team with him as the coach?
It was interesting at first. You know, I kind of had to make that transition before in the fall when I was there. But it was definitely a little bit tougher. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily with just directly Gino, but I think being on UConn's campus and everything around in Connecticut saying congratulations, Connecticut, that was probably the tougher part than actually, you know, being with Gino. I think Coach Ariyama was very professional about it and kind of knew the reason we were there was for USA basketball and not, you know, Stanford versus Connecticut. So it was more just kind of the atmosphere that was a little tough to go into.
Yeah, I'm sure. Was his coaching style a lot different than what you've been around before in college?
It's definitely, you know, new not being with, you know, Tara and her coaching. But I think it's a good thing, you know, for a player to kind of experience different coaching atmospheres and different styles of coaching and ways of playing. So for me, I only saw it as I was benefiting from it.
And then how is that compared to now being in the WNBA? How's the coaching and everything different there? What have you seen as the biggest difference?
From USA to the WNBA?
Or college and all of it, I guess.
You know, they're all kind of similar. I think it's just for me, the biggest difference is I don't know it. You know, I've been under Tara's offense and Tara's game plans for 4 years. And, you know, I could tell you what they're going to be coming up and just kind of be able to just know it. Versus now I'm having to kind of become a student again in that sense of having to learn the way that coaches like to have their players play. And this applies for both Coach Ariyama with USA Basketball and for my coaches here in San Antonio. So I think it's just kind of learning to reteach myself how to pick up on stuff like that.
What's been your favorite part about being part of the WNBA now?
Well, I've done two appearances for the NBA.
Okay.
And the first one, I went to a breast cancer awareness dinner and kind of auction fundraiser, and that was really cool. And then I also went to a school and got to talk to, I think it was like 200 kids, and it kind of answered their questions. And these are kids who kind of come from families that might not necessarily be able to afford their education, and they're given this opportunity to pretty much be guaranteed to go to college, you know, going through the school system that they're going through. And so to have the opportunity to kind of talk to them and make an impression on them was really cool for me.
Yeah, that's a cool experience. I actually talked with Helen Darling
mm-hmm.
a few days ago, and she was talking about that she's liked a lot of the service type things and
yeah,
like you were talking about that she's gotten to do.
Yeah, they've been really cool this year so far. So
another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is that a lot of players going into college are expecting that they're not going to really have the normal college experience because their time's taken up with basketball. And something that's different about you is you got to be part of a sorority while you were in college as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
It was a lot of fun. It was something that I would definitely redo again though if I had the choice. Just to have the opportunity to, you know, I almost compared it to like two different worlds. I had my basketball world, and then I had, you know, my Pi Phi world. And it was kind of nice, you know, on days when I went home back to the house of, you know, almost 60 girls that I could, if I had a bad practice, I could go back and I could talk about anything but basketball. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice to kind of have that to bounce off of. And it's also to kind of nice to have that second support base. You know, I was always concerned that they wouldn't understand that basketball came first for me and that it was going to take a lot of time. And so the fact that, you know, my sorority understood that that was number one for me and that, you know, whatever time I had left over after getting my schoolwork done in basketball, that was what was going to be Pi-Phi, was very nice. And I think, you know, very fortunate that I was put into that situation. But it definitely takes some balancing act. You know, you have to learn how to say no. And that was, I think, the hardest part for me my first year was recognizing what events I could do and what I couldn't do.
Right. Was there a lot of or many other girls on the team that were part of sororities?
When I joined, I was the only girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now there is there's three more Pi Phis, and as of this last spring, two Thetas. So
that's pretty cool. It's unique about your team that you guys get to do that.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it, like, the only reason it works is because we tell our sororities that they're coming second after basketball. So
yeah, of course. Well, also I have been following you on Twitter, and mm-hmm. I saw that you tweeted a picture of your brother a while ago with some pink fingernails. Is that something that you're going to keep doing into the WNBA?
Well, they're hot pink right now, but I don't know. It depends, whatever, you know. Maybe I'll do it if we make the playoffs and kind of do it for then. But whatever color comes to mind, I think one.